honorable members, I think we received copies of this DTC, and the only problem is that Moniat has just disappeared, because I just wanted to know this Davis Tax Commission, where is it, who are these, and where are they, and how do they operate, just to know the document, where the document comes from. So, but they told us that they've got a representative from Treasury here, and probably maybe from the state law advisors as well. If they know that this DTC, somebody can just explain what is the DTC. Yes, and then so that we, when we read the content, at least we know. Yes. But in the meantime, I think we can proceed. And then there were already partitions that Figland and have asked, and probably now I think we may need to ask some further questions, or even repeat those ones that may not have been answered at the beginning, and add some further questions. Figland, you have the platform, and then Gumede will follow you. If the other members are not here, then I may be tempted to close the meeting quickly. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm badly covered by the answers that I got from the DG, because that was my concern. And I think the answers were correct. And we'll wait to see if this will go through.
Honorable Commander, it looks like the department has done a little bit of homework to the extent that we have got no questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, on paging through this Davis Tax Committee comments, I just would like to know the status of that as we stand now. What's the recommendation is that there should be a separate tax collection and so forth. Will that not defeat the purpose of the whole exercise, or is it possible to do that? Because also our fear is to risk the leakage of revenue to fruitless expenditure that was not intended for use. So if perhaps we can be clear that structure, perhaps there'll be a coordinating committee or what within the border management agency. Thanks.
Okay. DG, did you also happen to have a copy of this?
No, you
know about it.
Yes.
So you have talked to it in your own time.
Yes, Chan, I can respond even on what that report will
speak to.
Yes. No, thanks, Chan. SARS, if you remember, the first one was CARTS Committee. And then after that, they appointed the Davis Tax Committee. So Davis Tax Committee was giving his opinion as a chair of the Tax Committee to say, if you do this and you do that, that is the comment. But if you read that report, there's an important part there where it says, whatever we want to do, it is not unconstitutional. And then also, Chair, which we will distribute as well, we also got a legal opinion from CATS, the one who started the SARS. Even if you read that report, it says, no, this thing is a policy matter. When this, to remember, these things were the branches within Treasury before. And then at the end, there was a decision, was a policy decision to establish SARS. And they were moved from SARS, from Treasury to SARS. So there's nothing in the Constitution which says you can't do anything you want to do as far as the SARS doesn't have a constitutional mandate, as I understand it. So then that chairperson was given a report which he had. We did look at it. It's the same with the report which you have from CESA. It's the same with the report which you will get once you go to the countries. Another country will say, no, don't combine revenue with border management. Another country will say, no. The best is to combine them, and they operate like that. That's why we say, if I think an Australian border management agency is even has got even a channel on the DSTV, which runs, I think it's every Sunday or whatever. They are running this thing in integrated. So that's why, Chair, we are saying there is no particular blueprint which you say this is what it must happen. It is the decision of that country. But what we've been always, is what we have agreed upon initially. The understanding was that we move the customs. But based on the discussions, then it says, no, what you take from the customs is what deals with the custom border law functions. Then the revenue collection, which is that worry, is not moving to BMA. It remains with SARS. But the only issue, as I was saying when they were here, is to sit now and be able to draw this line of what do you mean by customs border law function, and what do you mean by revenue collection? And then once we have that split, then you are clear now what it is. That's why I was saying that the difference is that the police functions are clear in terms of the Constitution or Police Act, what they do. That's why maybe it was easy. Then now this one is what needs to be looked at and say, this is what you can do and what that. And then, that's why I was saying, if you go, I think we gave the chair the cabinet net, which was approving the bill to come to parliament. They approve everything, and then at one point says, now the Minister of Home Affairs must still talk to the Minister of Finance as far as to avoid the unintended consequences as far as the tax part of it. So that's why, Chair, we are so, as we are saying, that we're engaging. So through that engagement, that report will also be looked at. But when I read it, at least it's got something in it which says, the part which just says no, but in terms of the constitution, there's nothing. But as I'm saying that, even the Kurds one, we also went to Mr. Kurds as the first one to say, what is your take on this? So we've got even that opinion as well, which will distribute.
No, thank you very much. While Honorable Shope is just simply putting our questions together, then let me just simply take this 1 minute or so to say, you see, I really do have a belief that you have a state, then you have got the cabinet. The cabinet then has got administrations in each department. We have responsibilities. Anybody else who is actually constituted to assist us, whether it's a legal opinion, whether it is a study, a report, it gets submitted, but we don't do away with our responsibility. We must read that report, and then we must make our own position. We shouldn't say, because there is a legal opinion or there is a report like this, it says you can't do this. Then you have a department comes, no, you can't do this. This is what this report is saying. No, this is actually submitted to you. You must consume it. If you agree, then you must be able to agree with it, and you must be able to tell us that this report, that you are agreeing with it, it is fine, and then it is our position. Otherwise, we would be delegating our responsibilities to other people outside the state. I thought that when we seek advice from them, they advise us to be empowered to be able to take decisions from an informed position. And hence, that's why I would love that the DG, I'm not sure whether we should really maybe put time limits on this, because I just need to be a little bit much more stringent that it looks like your engagement with Treasure, there is a hide and seek thing that is happening. Because from the day of the briefing, we said we must deal with this, and then when we come back to start the public hearing, we must receive progress. Then we came on the 13th, no progress. No progress. And then we have done the same thing, we have asked them to do so, and Cabinet also in the very same week when we started with the public hearing, also instructed that this must happen. Today we don't even have a formulation. Today. Between Home Affairs and Treasury, one is not playing the game. One is not playing the game. And we really need to actually ensure that they meet and actually give us the formulation. Home Affairs is very clear about issues of the ports of entry in terms of administration of people to go through there. SARS is very clear on behalf of Treasury about the customs and collection of revenue. Then, because all of them, they are very clear about what they are doing at the ports of entry, it should be easy for them to be able to formulate anything that needs to deal with the challenges that we are having. But we're behaving as if no, we don't know, so we are afraid to move here because we don't know there is a risk or unintended consequences, as if we don't know the terrain that we're speaking about. Somebody is actually is delaying us. And we really just need to make that call. We need to get the formulation. Even if maybe to an extent that we get maybe something that says you have agreed to disagree, so that we know that this is now delegated to us in Parliament. And then we don't expect anything from the Cabinet and its administration. I'm not sure is that, I think within the next 3 days, DG and the representative of Treasury there, within the next 3 days, we must really hear. Otherwise, then we'll be forced to take for granted that you can agree. And then we'll get legal opinions, we'll get all sorts of people that can formulate something that will create the relationship and move forward. But we really need to respect your expertise at that level to assist us and inform us. But if it is not coming forth, we are the lawmakers. Then we'll take our responsibilities with two hands and run with it. Honorable Thope, on the whole presentation that has been made by Spelemech, you are accommodated.
No, Chair, I don't have any problem. I didn't pay attention. I was in and out of the meeting. But I do agree with you when you are saying between Treasury and Department of Home Affairs, there's something that is lacking. And as a committee, I think it will be very, very much important for us to get to the bottom of the matter. Because we must be clear as committee members of what we are dealing with here. We can't have a treasurer who is opposing to the bill and have a Department of Home Affairs to come to say to us the bill is correct. So you must know, Guti, what is that troubling the treasurer as well as SARS? So okay, we'll wait for the DG to conclude those engagement with SARS as he indicated it here. But we'll have to know the issue of differences between the treasurer and the Department of Home Affairs. I think it will be fair to us. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. And on page 13, Spelemech. Thank you for entertaining us. Page 13, where you are proposing an amendment which investigation must be instituted and finalized without undue delay. Ordinarily, can we say there is a consensus what undue delay will be meaning? If somebody asks what will be termed undue delay, how do you respond to that? And no, just take note of it, and then it was not the only thing that I just heard. Of course, I've already asked, I think it's our legal services and also state law advisors, on 18, the redrafted 18, what is their view now? And then probably then you can, I'm sure they'll inform us if you have consulted with the state law advisors, or after you have redrafted this, then you can indicate as such. What is their view on that process? And then the question of the interministerial committee. I think just the input that we made, I think last week, was that we must just watch out that we don't put together a bulky committee. There are departments that are affected directly. There are those that are impacted by the work at the Port of Entry. And then we should not really put a very big committee of ministers that when they meet, they actually close government and they look like a cabinet meeting. Must be people that are really directly affected by what is happening at the Port of Entry. There are those that will be impacted, you know, at some other time when some other work is done, and then they get impacted, and then they may be called in the next meeting to come and assist the Interministerial Committee. That's what I was just simply trying to bring, because we have interacted with committees that have got too many members, and just simply to coordinate them to sit, it has been a very big problem. Unlike now that it is a surprise, of course, now that a committee of two people or four people then, between Home Affairs and SARS, then it's so difficult to meet and deal with their issues. But obviously, a committee of many people, especially once they go beyond seven, it becomes very difficult to coordinate. And given the heavy loads that ministers have, and of executive functions as well as political functions, and then so I was just raising that specific ones to say we must just simply make sure that we really don't create actually a dysfunctional committee. I think those are just the few two things that. I'm happy that now I know the Davis Commission, that is a successor of the Katz Commission or something like that. And then, it is fine. I think probably is that, we'll hear from the legal services just after you've responded. You may proceed. And DG, when he has done, then if there is anything to raise, then you can do so. Before I move to procedure.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the reformulation of clause 18, just to indicate that we were caucusing already and exchanging contacts, that as a parliamentary legal officer ourselves at the state law advisors, we set up a date where we discuss and thresh out the suggested amendment and the areas where perhaps we said there's no need to amend the bill, then if there are suggestions, we then simplify issues for the committee and agree, come with an agreed version. So there is that pending arrangement that we're going to finalize. And with regard to the IMC, I think DG will assist in dealing with that. And the issue of the undue delay, we did seriously discuss it in detail in looking at whether do we put a time frame specifically, and there was where the suggestion emanates from. There was even a recommendation to look at the SAPS Act in terms of the commissioners, the way in which the commissioner has been dealt with. But we came to a discussion and an agreement that perhaps the undue delay would have an assessment that one makes in once you suspend, how to then say calculate the undue delay. But I think we agree that we are balancing between putting 2 months, that might be impossible, perhaps, and you know, looking at the practicalities of what has happened in other areas. But we I think the DG is nodding to what I'm going to say, that we are open to a further discussion. We are not saying this is, we might need to with guidance on what would be a reasonable period that we can put if we are to be specific about a particular period. But those were the discussions we had, Chair.
No, Chair, even on this matter of undue delay, you know, the Public Service Act says that a disciplinary process must take 60 days, but it's very difficult to achieve that because you start investigating the case, and then you go through, a person gets a lawyer, gets delayed, and all that. So that's why now we're arguing, even on the Public Service Act, to say probate. We mustn't say the case must be finalized within 60 days. Maybe we might say the investigations must be finalized by this, but that one we've got a control over. So that's why again, now that's here to say something which maybe need to look at it, what would be the right formulation. So maybe explain that undue delay, but it means as far as the investigations and all that, maybe give a reason. But now how the case is going to conclude is something else. So Chair, we'll look at it as well. Chair, the Ministerial Committee, you know, the issue here is that, as I understand what the Chair is saying in terms of the size, but it's the approach we need to consider, maybe when we go back and look at this thing, is to say, which departments are the primary function at a port of entry? And then says, yes, like maybe we'll talk about trade, talk about this, we'll talk about, maybe they don't need to be in that committee. They might be at a time of a need. But the departments which are really operating there on a daily basis is Home Affairs, is SARS, is Agriculture, is Health, and then, you know, then the police. So probably maybe, and then maybe defense as well, like something like that. So it's something that you need to go and review it, because maybe when we're putting everybody was to say BMA would be an implementing agency on behalf of these parent departments, so even though they don't have a say. But yeah, there's a principle here, Chair, which yeah, we understand that, but the cabinet is one. So it means now if that committee goes and report to the cabinet, these other ministers are there. So if there is an input they want to give, they can. So it's something which we will go back and look at it, but we understand the concern of a big committee which will not meet at the end of the day. Or we still get those two or three ministers, the ones who are called, and the rest are not there. So it's something which we'll have to look at. No, Chair, then Chair, you have raised the point. I'm happy now that Momo is back here. On the point which you raised, that within 3 days we must finalize this matter, and then if we don't, the committee will take its own decision. I think, Chair, it's nice that he is here so that I'm not moving moves and give that message, is what the Chair said. So, but I'm sure maybe you can explain, Chair, that Davis committee report, it was explained by me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think we can do so. I did have a discussion with him, and then whatever I've said is exactly what I had the discussion with him, that we are very unhappy about this process and between yourself and themselves as treasurer. Somebody is actually blocking the process. We are not really playing the game to the speed that we expected to happen. You know, because it looks like in public you are willing to meet and finalize this thing. But once we move from here, then other things start cropping up in your offices outside. And then it actually frustrates us. You know, it's like, as I've said, that I did explain that they know better about that act of customs at the port of entry. You know better about that act of the immigration at the port of entry. Now, if there is any integration that is required, we have got two qualified departments that knows better. It should be easy to provide for the animals that the cabinet has decided to establish. Or the country, because the president is the one that, the president that said we must, then we would establish this particular institution. So we have got experts that are supposed to assist us and put together all what needs to be provided for us to be able to move forward. And then now, let's do it within the next 3 days. Let's do it within the next 3 days. If it can't happen, we can't receive any documents that talk to us that you guys now you have reached some consensus, you have come closer, then we may need to call the two ministers here, and then we come and say to them that your administrations are not assisting us, and then we are taking our responsibility with our own two hands and run. But if we reach that kind of a situation, the possibilities that certain things may not happen the way you would have agreed on may not. Because now it is people that are not experts that will be deciding on your behalf on the matters. But if it gets delegated to us, then we are not shy to take it. No. I think that's what we just wanted to indicate. And then the issue that the CH is talking about with the legal services, and also it can't be an endless thing. It can't be the endless thing. Make sure that I think within the next 5 days, then you guys have met and then we are happy, so that we are clear as well that no, there is movement on anything. Of course, is that DG. The intention is not for you to put a date or time in terms of months or weeks for the investigations. All what I just wanted to know is that when you say without undue delay, will everybody that is hearing you knowing what that will be meaning? That is the only thing. Because we expect that it should be interpreted even by other people outside that may be affected by the matter. Then more or less, when we say no, this investigation has been going too long, or it has been unduly delayed, what would be the basis for such a statement for any person to say so? And then I'm sure is that the language, I think there may be established language on that specific matter, where the interpretation is a lot more clear. Because there is sometimes in other documents we say without unreasonable delay. I think in other documents we'll come across that, then it's undue delay. You know. If we can find a formulation that generally already is established, either in law or in administration, that more or less the interpretation of it already it exists among many people, so that it must always interpret it more or less to the same ballpark. That's more or less what I was just raising. Because somebody may say 1 week is then you have delayed my issue by 1 week and then I can't do X, Y, Z, and then it says undue. Somebody may be patient for 3 months, somebody may be patient for 6 months, and you know. So that's the problem. That Mamonia, just in a nutshell, because now we have this, you know, these people. In a nutshell, what is this particular report saying? And then, possibly as well, what is the position of Treasury in terms of this report? After you have received this report, then have you consumed it, and what is your position about it? And so that when you go and consider as honorable members, then you should be knowing. Because ordinarily it would have been better that the Davis Tax Commission itself presented their own report. But I mean, we have not made those kind of arrangements. And then, but because it has been submitted to yourself, you may have spent time on it. And then, in a nutshell, what is there that is being said?
I think. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think I know that the judge would be happy to come if you do invite him to come to report. And I guess, you know, the key issue is, as the DG said, when you talk about the revenue collection function, the administration and tax issues go together. And I guess that's what he says, essentially, tax administration and collection of laws and regulations. He goes into the dangers of fragmentation of the tax collection function. And, you know, he's looked at the numbers of staff, and he basically concludes that recommends that the functions and powers of SARS and the BMA be kept separate, and that the agency should not be assigned any of the current functions and powers of SARS with regard to revenue, that's taxes, customs, and excise collection, and the control of goods that is associated with such functions. Of particular concern is the extraordinary poor timing of the bill. According to the 2014 tax stats, he says the total of customs, import VAT, and ad valorem duties collected amount to 176 billion rands for the 2013-14 year. This was approximately 19% of the total revenue collected. The DTC of the view that to put so significant a contribution to the fiscus in a position of uncertainty if the bill were to be implemented is fiscally imprudent at this critical juncture for the South African economy. Now, this is their view. They have they tend to come and look at, tax policy tends to be very complex in the sense that, there's a lot of legislation, there's a lot of issues on customs, and I guess the key issue is how do you separate the clearing of goods process from the actual collection of revenue? Now, in our discussions, as the DG of Planning has outlined, I think that's what we're trying to apply our minds to. Because if you break the value chain, the problem then is there will be lots of seepage. And I guess we are trying to understand what problems are we trying to solve, particularly with regard to goods and container traffic and so on. But look, that's my interpretation, Chair, of what he's saying. I think it's best that you actually call him up so that he can go into this in more detail. And I don't want to try and represent his views. That's why I'm reading literally from some of the things that he's concluding.
Yeah, but what is important is Treasury. When you receive that particular document, or when you have seen this particular document, what is your position?
We agree with it.
You agree with it.
Okay. And if you look at my presentation, those were the concerns that do need to be addressed as we are talking. And I think, Chair, we are 80% there between our two departments in securing an agreement. But we need certainty, and we need certainty in the legislation. This is a framework act. So, creating uncertainty for SARS, we think, would be extremely risky, and it would impact on revenue. So, we've got those concerns. I outlined it when I presented, and those concerns need to be taken into account.